All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we're going straight into the heart of a capital murder conviction, straight out of Arizona. State of Arizona v. Loris Lee McVeigh. And what's particularly interesting, I think, about this case is a first-degree murder conviction was actually overturned. So we're going to kind of look at how that happened and really kind of look at courtroom evidence and how it was presented.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. This deep dive into the McVeigh case, I think, offers a really powerful lens for understanding how these really kind of complicated evidence rules work, especially when we're talking about hearsay and the right to confront your accuser. And more than just understanding those rules, we're also going to see how appellate courts go about reviewing these trial proceedings to determine if the mistakes made during the trial were actually serious enough to, you know, toss out the jury's verdict and then demand a new trial.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that's always so interesting to me is, like, you know, we kind of think of the trial as the end-all be-all, but it's not. There's so many steps after that. So, so for you listening, our goal today is to really unpack exactly those complexities, right? Like, what is hearsay evidence? What does the right to confront witnesses really mean? And how do courts actually decide if a mistake made during a trial is big enough to warrant a whole new trial? So we've gathered a ton of case briefs, legal analyses, and really broken it all down. So let's just jump right into it. Let's set the scene, right? We're back in 1977. Who are the players involved here?
All right. So back in 1977, we have Loris Lee McVeigh, and he had a very brief living situation with the victim in this case, Thomas Pitts. And Thomas Pitts, importantly, he owned a pretty unique custom-built motorcycle.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So custom-built motorcycle. All right. My ears are perked. All right, so then, tragically, in December of that year, early December 1977, Pitts is found dead. And, you know, not surprisingly, shot. And to add to the intrigue, both his very distinctive leather jacket, we'll come back to that, and that custom-built motorcycle are missing from the scene.
Yeah, so this is where McVeigh kind of enters the picture, right? He pretty quickly admitted to taking Pitts' jacket and motorcycle. In fact, he even rode that motorcycle all the way to Sells, Arizona. However, McVeigh very consistently and very vehemently denied that he had anything to do with Pitts' murder. Mm-hmm. So you have this really clear admission of guilt when it comes to property theft, but a pretty firm denial when it comes to the much, much more serious offense, you know, the murder.
Okay, so right off the bat, we've got this tension, right? This conflict. McVeigh admits to taking the property but denies the murder. So how did the prosecution try to connect him to the murder, to bridge that gap? That's where the courtroom testimony really takes center stage, right?
That's exactly right. So the prosecution built a really significant part of their case on the testimony of a jailhouse informant, a guy named Kenny Knorr. And Knorr testified under oath that McVeigh confessed to the murder while they were both in custody.
Oh, the jailhouse confession. You know, we see it in the movies all the time, right? But
yeah.
How reliable is that kind of testimony? Because in this case, the defense actually presented another inmate, Porter Smithson, and his testimony really directly challenged Knorr's account.
Yeah, he really did.
Yeah.
Smithson testified that he believed that Knorr had completely fabricated this confession, that in fact, Knorr had gotten specific details about the crime, not from McVeigh, but from reading police reports that were kind of floating around the jail.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you know, this really throws Knorr's credibility into question.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we've got dueling inmate testimonies. One guy saying, yeah, he confessed to me. The other guy saying, no, he totally made it up based on stuff he read in police reports. So that kind of sets the stage for the testimony of Detective George Klutlinger, right? And it's his statements that become the real legal issue here.
Yeah, so you're exactly right. So after the defense tries to attack Knorr's credibility through Smithson's testimony, the prosecution called Detective Klutlinger to the stand as a rebuttal witness.
Okay.
And Klutlinger testified about information that Knorr had given him about McVeigh's activities after the shooting, like where he went. This included stuff about McVeigh being in Tucson and then going to California.
Okay, so the key point here is that Klutlinger testified that Knorr had given him very specific details that were not in the official police reports for the case, right? So the prosecution's strategy seems pretty clear, right? They're trying to, like, rehab Knorr's credibility in the eyes of the jury, saying, look, Knorr knew things that weren't public knowledge. He must have gotten this info directly from McVeigh, the guy who did it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Their argument was Knorr couldn't have just learned these details by reading police reports if they weren't in the reports in the first place. And they said, well, this really supports Knorr's story that McVeigh confessed to him. But this is exactly where the Arizona Supreme Court steps in and says, hold on a second. There's a huge legal problem with this.
And that legal problem, and this is kind of the reason why this murder conviction was overturned, is the rule against hearsay evidence. So for everyone listening, maybe break it down. Like, what is hearsay and why was Detective Kluttlinger's testimony considered inadmissible hearsay?
Sure. So hearsay is basically an out-of-court statement. Someone said something outside of court, and then someone else is trying to use that statement in court to prove whatever was said in that statement is true.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, Detective Kluttlinger is repeating what Kenny Knorr told him outside of court. And the big problem here is that McVeigh's defense team never had a chance to cross-examine Kenny Knorr about these specific details that Kluttlinger was telling the jury. They couldn't ask Knorr where he got this information, if he was sure about it, or if there were any, you know, biases or motives that might make his statements unreliable.
Right. And that's that fundamental. Right. To confront your accusers, to cross-examine witnesses, that's a cornerstone of our legal system. It's a way to make sure that the evidence being presented is reliable. So even though Kluttlinger's testimony seems to support Knorr's account, it's doing it indirectly, right, through the detective and without giving the defense that opportunity to question Knorr directly on those same points.
Exactly. And the Arizona Supreme Court, they don't see this as like a small technicality or a minor mistake. They say this is a big deal because it could have really prejudiced the jury against McVeigh.
Okay, so I get that it's hearsay, but why was this specific piece of hearsay evidence so bad for McVeigh's defense?
Well, the way the court saw it, this hearsay evidence was used to make Knorr's whole story seem more believable. And remember, Knorr is the guy directly accusing McVeigh of murder. If the jury believes that Knorr knew details that hadn't been made public, details about where McVeigh went after the shooting, it would make them more likely to believe the rest of Knorr's story, including that McVeigh confessed to him.
So it's about bolstering credibility, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. So now we get to the element of lying in wait. And I know this was a huge part of the case. Can you kind of walk us through what lying in wait means legally?
Absolutely. Lying in wait basically means that the person who committed the crime planned it out beforehand, that they were waiting for their victim and then they attacked. It means there was premeditation and deliberation. It wasn't just a spur of the moment, heat of the moment thing, you know.
It was planned.
It was an ambush.
Exactly. Okay, so lying in wait is about planning and deliberation. And Knorr's testimony is so important here because the Arizona Supreme Court specifically said that his testimony was the only direct evidence that suggested McVeigh had been lying in wait for Pitts. So everything else presented by the prosecution was more circumstantial.
Right. All the other evidence, like the fact that the victim's property was missing, that McVeigh had admitted to taking those items, that all pointed towards potential guilt, but it didn't directly prove lying in wait. It was Knorr's statement about the alleged confession that really cemented that part of the prosecution's case for first-degree murder.
So Knorr's testimony becomes the most important piece of the puzzle for the prosecution, right? It's the one thing that elevates the charges to first-degree murder. And by allowing this hearsay from Detective Kluttlinger to bolster Knorr's credibility, the prosecution was basically strengthening the weakest link in their case. It's kind of like, you know, trying to build a house on a foundation of sand.
You got it.
Okay, so now we get to the harmless error test, right? So it's not enough for a court to just say, hey, there was a mistake in the trial. Right. They have to figure out if that mistake was big enough that it could have actually changed the outcome of the trial, changed the jury's decision. So it's not just about whether there was other evidence suggesting guilt. It's about whether this specific error, the hearsay from Detective Kluttlinger, could have influenced the jury to convict McVeigh of first-degree murder.
That's exactly right. So the court has to look at everything and decide, okay, even with this mistake, are we absolutely sure that McVeigh would have still been convicted? And in this case, the Arizona Supreme Court said, no, we can't be sure. This hearsay evidence might have been the deciding factor for the jury.
Yeah, Justice Cameron, who wrote the court's opinion, even said, and I'm quoting here, rehabilitating with the hearsay evidence may well have been the factor which removed a reasonable doubt in the minds of the jurors. So the court was really concerned that this hearsay evidence had swayed the jury, especially on that key point of lying in wait, which made this first-degree murder.
Yeah, they were very clear about that.
So given all of that, what happened? What was the final outcome of the case?
So as we said at the beginning, the Arizona Supreme Court overturned Loris Lee McVeigh's conviction for first-degree murder. They sent the case back to the trial court and said, you need to have a new trial, and this time, do it right.
Okay, so new trial, case sent back. What's the big takeaway here, especially for people listening who are interested in law? What can we learn from State v. McVeigh?
I think the biggest lesson here is that courts are incredibly careful about hearsay. They're especially careful when it's used to make a witness seem more believable after their testimony has already been questioned. And this is even more important when that witness's testimony is about something really important to the crime, like premeditation for first-degree murder. It's a reminder that hearsay rules exist for a reason, that they're not just technicalities. They're there to make sure trials are fair and to protect the rights of the accused.
Right. It's about making sure that justice is done and that it's done the right way. So this deep dive into State v. McVeigh shows us that these seemingly technical legal rules, like the rules about hearsay, they can have a huge impact on real people's lives, right? Like, it's not just about whether McVeigh might have been guilty, it's about whether he got a fair trial with admissible evidence. And in this case, the court said, no, he didn't. And that's why they ordered a new trial. It really makes you think, you know, in our everyday lives, we hear things from other people all the time, right? We get our information secondhand. And how often do we just accept that information as true without questioning it, without thinking about the source? What could be the consequences of that? This case really makes you think about the importance of direct evidence, of being able to challenge the source of the information that we base our decisions on. It's definitely something to keep in mind as we navigate this crazy world of information overload, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great point to end on. We're constantly bombarded with information, and it's more important than ever to be critical thinkers, to question our sources, and to demand evidence.
So thank you for joining us for this deep dive into State of Arizona v. Loris Lee McVeigh. We'll see you next time.
See you then.